if you are listening to this, I understand you either are looking to get into the sports industry or are currently already working in the sports industry. But either way, both of you understand the importance of networking and putting yourself in the best position to get the next great opportunity. Well, I have a resource that will be able to help you do that. It is called jobsinsports.com. I will put their website link in the episode description. You can either check it out now or you can go after the episode and check it out later. But for sure, this is a resource you should have signed up for yesterday, especially if you want to get into the sports industry or already in the sports industry. Now, what is jobsinsports.com? Well, they're the number one job sports focused job board online. And when you sign up, it's important that when you sign up, you let them know that you heard it from a podcast. So let me explain what you will get from jobsinsports.com. Currently, it is free to sign up, but you will have limited access to the detailed job descriptions, the sports internship descriptions, and their sport job database. But if you sign up for their premium membership, which is $5 in the first month, you will be able to post your resume on their database. You will get a resume review and possible recommendation. You will have access to their full detailed job descriptions of 3,194 listings. You will get access to the detailed sports internship descriptions, which is 553 internships. And myself personally, I know how difficult it is to find internships online. You'll get access to the sports team and industry contacts. You'll be able to network with the right people in the sports industry. You will get access to Game Face Sports Career Advice audio series. You will get access to the 46 chapter sports employment ebook. And lastly, you will get access to their sports job database search. So now, go sign up for this resource at jobsinsports.com. And when you sign up, make sure when you hit that drop down box where they ask you where they heard it from, make sure you hit the podcast, because I want them to know that the sports as a job community consists of the leaders of the sports industry. But more importantly, I want them to understand that we have the future leaders and the future stars that will fill all of these job opportunities listed on their website. So go sign up at jobsinsports.com. This is the Student Spotlight, presented by Sports is a Job. On this podcast, we give the platform to students and interns to share their story and tell their journey with the hopes of getting their next opportunity within the sports industry. We understand personally how this process is very difficult, so it's our mission to help these students and interns in this process. So if you're a hiring manager or looking for your next employee, well, we might just have the next future star for you. Welcome to the Student Spotlight. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to episode number 2 of Student Spotlight. I got another amazing potential student or intern that could possibly be working at your organization or be working for you. My name is Colby Castillo, and the other host here is
Shahab, and we're having Mo on today. Mo, you currently are a student at Texas Tech, right?
Yes, sir. I'm a student at Texas Tech University. I'm getting my master's in sport management right now.
We actually, Mo and I actually connected through my roommate who knew Mo from back in tech. So it's like a little, like, it's like a small world out there too, when you think about it.
Yeah, man. Rebel, man. I don't know if I can say his name on live, but that's the man right there. That's my guy for sure. So if I know, if Rebel trusts you, I trust you. And I'm looking forward to it with you guys.
Damn, I'm shocked Rebel trust me, but that's great to hear, though. That's great to hear. just going into it a little bit. So tell us, like, what do you do right now currently in the sports industry?
Right now, I'm more so focused on becoming a sports agent along with being a financial analyst. I was able to go to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis about 3 weeks ago. You know, I was basically shadowing players, you know, just kind of shadowing my agent as well, just learning the business aspect of the game. And I'm getting into sports financing as well. I want to teach players about managing their money, expenses to make, where how to invest their money, and what funds to trust in when making those decisions.
That's definitely a big area when it comes to, you know, like you're speaking, like a financial 101 thing, educating people on that. Because outside of just people in sports and athletes, I think all of us could use probably a class in that. And that's kind of an interesting combination that you have there, is agent and the financial analysis. So what is it, you know, what got you into wanting to do that? Like, was there a movie you watched? Was there a certain person? Was there a player? Was there a certain moment that kind of made you decide that's the career you wanted to go into?
For me, it was more so, you know, just always getting those crazy reports that, such and such player has gone bankrupt, or this guy is, you know, really poor and homeless now because he didn't take care of his money while he was playing. And I was reading something the other day. They said about 70% of former NFL players are, like, broke 3 to 5 years, you know, after playing. And that's a pretty, you know, disgusting number, considering the fact that those guys are making millions of dollars. So, and as an agent, you're only around when your athlete is doing well and can play up to his potential to make, you know, a decent contract for that agent. Financial advisor can be around forever. So, you know, that's the way that I would pitch potential athletes, to let them know, like, hey, I can be by your side forever. Like, I'm here to help you out so you can make good decisions with your money, as well as help you negotiate the best possible contract for you. Because originally I thought an agent just did, you know, all the underground work and kind of just stayed away from the players and didn't really involved in the players' everyday life. So now I started seeing, like, you know, Rich Paul. I mean, everybody knows Rich Paul. He's with LeBron 24/7, and them two, like, have businesses together. So I was like, okay, so agents can build that relationship with their athletes. And I'm all about seeing how much more value I can add to someone else's life or organization. So I'm like, okay, if I can be his agent and, you know, help him get the best possible contract for himself, but also help him make good decisions with his money, then, you know, he's basically getting a 2-in-1. I live by this motto, protect and serve. So I always want to serve the people.
So what is your mindset? You know, for example, say you were to approach an NFL player down the line, what would you say? How would your introduction go to say, you know, this is my name. My name is Mo. And to really explain to him what differentiates you from everybody else that's also in that career.
First and foremost, I love talking to people. Like, I am a great communicator. That's probably my best future. But first, the number one thing that I think is most important whenever you're trying to reach an agreement or get some type of collateral business going on with someone else is, you know, be upfront with them and tell them, like, what you can do for them. Because it's all about, what can you do for me? You know, it's not more so, hey, look, if you sign with me, you'll really help me financially. You know, you're a great player. It's going to give me a lot of credibility around the league. But me, more so, I'm thinking of, okay, how can I help you? Like, what can I do for you to make you the best possible, you know, financially suited person you can be? So yeah, basically that's just the approach I take. Like, what can I do for you?
That's a really good approach. And that's, like, something we deal with too on here on the PR side as well that I work in. It's more of like, you know, you have a bunch of people, all these athletes have a bunch of people tugging at their side that want a piece of them. And, you know, like you said, the most important formula that we found is, you know, straight up be honest with them. Don't overpromise. Just be like, hey, we're going to expect to do this, this, and that, and then we're going to get it to you. And it's just like, that's what they appreciate, honesty, and, you know, humanize them too. Like, you're not after them just for their money or their fame. You're after them for, you know, we want to help you grow your business too outside of the field.
And people really admire, you know, you actually showing them the work that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's important you have some type of, you know, graphics to show them, like, hey, this is where I can get you by year two, or this is where I can get you by year three. You know, because a lot of us, we're visual learners. You know, you can't just tell somebody a lot of information and expect them to retain that. So it's also very important that, you know, have some type of visual representation of what you're trying to do with that athlete.
I think at the core of it all, like how you were saying, providing the visualization is one, it's, I think you need to build trust right off the bat. Like, if they feel they can't trust you from the initial conversation you have, I mean, how can they trust you with their finances or trust you to be their agent in anything? So you're, as far as aspirations, we know you want to be an agent. Would you want to be an agent? Like, is this something that you want to start up a firm, or is there a certain firm out there or certain people that you want to work with that you can name?
To begin with, I'm ready to work with any agency, you know, as long as, you know, their code of ethics and their morals, you know, align with what I believe in and how I go about with my life. Also, you know, my end goal is I want to build my own agency too in the future. And that's why I'm also going with the sports financing route, because not many agencies provide direct access to financial advising. They usually have a third party. So I want to have an agency that can provide both of those within one.
That's awesome. Yeah, a lot of financial agencies are places they have, they operate separately then from the agency. So like, you know, for us too, we also have to kind of reach out to friends and people we know in the industry. So if you could bring that all together into one, that'd be really beneficial for you.
Let's jump right into the breakdown segment of the podcast. And Shahab's gonna mention and explain to you what we'll be breaking down here.
So based off, you know, your interest, what you're trying to pursue, me and Kobe were kind of looking at everything, you know, that relates to your field. And I just wanted to ask you about, like, you know, something that just recently happened as well, like with the NFL CBA. Can you kind of like give us like a brief of your opinions on it? You know, what was that? What could be structured better? How did it benefit the owners, the players? All you.
First off, I want to start by saying that about 500 players didn't vote. And if you look at the vote, it was pretty close. I believe 1,000 were opposed. I mean, were with, you know, the new CBA. And around 950 were opposed of the CBA. So as you can see, it's pretty close. I mean, a lot of sides, I mean, the sides didn't really, you know, agree too well, but they just got a deal done just in case, just so they can continue on with the, so they won't have no type of lockout or anything. Mm. But my opinion on that, I like that they're giving them an extra game check for that week 17. But the thing I like the most about it is that the bye week in between the preseason and the regular season, mm-hmm. because a lot of players, for some reason, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the preseason, but players have been getting hurt in the preseason. And, you know, if you play fantasy football, I'm pretty sure you know exactly what that feels like.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
it's awful.
I like how they get the extra week. I mean, the extra week won't really help you if you have a season-ending injury. But, you know, it can just kind of help, you know, teams figure out what to do if a player is down. You have an extra week to prepare for them. Other than that, here's the big topic that many people don't read into. They see the big, bold letters. Players cannot get suspended for failing a drug test anymore. However, there's a catch behind that. Now they're getting game checks taken away. You can't get suspended, but you get a whole game check taken away.
And, they didn't bring that one up.
Yeah, sometimes you got to read between the lines, but there's a lot of new things going on. Many players are opposed to it because they just don't like it, because they don't feel like it really benefits them. Me originally, I was, you know, I was in favor of the new CBA, but after I kind of read more detail, you know, more into it, I realized that it's not really suited for the players.
Was there 500, you said? 500 people, 500 of the players didn't vote?
Yeah, about 450 to 500 players did not vote.
Why was that? I'm not too familiar with the process of voting and stuff like that.
It's basically just like how whenever there's elections for our country, many people just feel like their votes don't matter, or they feel like, you know, the CBA always is in favor for the owners, you know, and they say, well, my vote is not going to do anything, so I'm not going to vote at all. And as you can see, it was pretty close. So, you know, 200 of those 500 vote, that could change things up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was so close.
Yeah, that's interesting because, again, like, hopefully in the future, it does make them vote. Because, like how you were saying, if it was that close of a margin, 200 people could have made a difference. And that's kind of just interesting because it's, you know, I think they do tailor it to the public when they explain these kind of things, because I have the public point of view. You know, I'm not super into depth with this. My personal job is not in this. So what I hear from the media is, oh, it's a win-win for everybody on both sides. But here you're saying they're taking a whole paycheck, which is super big. Like, how can you, you know, how can you leave that out for everybody else to hear? And then the other part of the breakdown, which is it's just an interesting part for me, because I think I played football, so I looked really into depth as far as, you know, what it takes to go to the next level. And you were just at the combine. So we kind of want to talk about, what is it outside of just a player's skills and numbers that makes them a great fit for the NFL or the next level?
I just believe it's their demeanor, basically just how they come off to people. Like, you know, they always say you want to have a great first impression. That's why a lot of these agencies, they prepare players with great interview questions, and just always, you know, just staying level headed and not being so focused on being the top draft pick, just being grateful that you're even having an opportunity to be at the combine. Now, not all the players that make it to the combine get drafted. It's impossible. But they, you know, they have high charisma. They're just very appreciative of the moment. They're not really worried too much of the politics that go into it. Well, at least not yet.
That comes eventually. Is there like one question that you guys use that you're allowed to share with us from the combine, or is that all, you know, confidential?
No, we didn't. One question.
Like something that we wouldn't think of.
Well, you're saying like question to ask or question that will be asked?
Questions that, yeah, will be asked to the players at the combine when you interview them.
Oh, you always got to let them know, like, hey, you're going to be asked, what team do you want to go to, or what pick would you rather be? And when you answer that question exactly how, you know, they want you to answer, you kind of limit yourself. Like, you can hurt your draft stock because, you know, teams will think that, oh, if we draft him, he may not want to play here. So that's why you see a lot of those guys, they say, I'm ready to play wherever. I'll be happy wherever. Even though it's not a very authentic answer, but that's, you know, you got to say the right things for the right moment.
Oh, that makes sense. So, like, if Colby was being interviewed by the Bengals right now, he'll just say, like, I'm down to play wherever, even though he's, like, expected to be a number one pick.
Exactly. Joe Burrow actually almost got himself in trouble saying that.
That's exactly why I said it, yeah.
I did see that.
Yeah.
So what would your, I guess you could say, we could take an interesting route. What would your draft breakdown be for you going into the agency world, looking for a job as an agent? Like, I know you mentioned that you're a people person already. What would your breakdown be as far as your strengths, your weaknesses, and what is it that you do kind of either to improve on your weaknesses or kind of, you know, put them in the back and not really people to really reveal those?
Okay. Well, obviously, my biggest strength is communicating. I'm a great listener. I retain information very well. As far as my weaknesses, I have to be better at being persistent. Like, I don't like being told no. Mm-hmm. I don't like being like a fly in someone's ear. Like being persistent is good, but at some point it can get annoying if you're constantly trying to convince somebody to work with you. So that's a weakness of mine, trying to find, you know, the middle point of, you know, being persistent and knowing like when to stop. Because like I said, I don't want to be that annoying guy. So I kind of like move on too fast rather than trying and figuring ways that I could give myself a better pitch next time to that same particular individual, if that makes sense.
I think it is a difficult line to really look at when you're talking about is 20 messages too much? Is 15 not enough? Like, you know, it is get interesting because I am one of those people that I do DM. I think all of us are, where we DM or message and reach out to people, whether it's for an opportunity or to network. And we're like, this person didn't message back in like 2 weeks. Would it be okay if I message him another 5 times within this week? You know, like that kind of thing. It's interesting. It's interesting to look at. But I also do wish, I mean, we were talking, Shahab and I was talking about it, how when we do get a no, I mean, looking at it as an acronym for next opportunity, you know, not really dwelling on that no and be like, oh, this person told me no, screw them. Like, I'm going to whatever. I'm never going to talk to him again. I'm gonna put him in the bad limelight. But no, it's just move on, try to get your next opportunity. And it is one of those things that's difficult to really figure out where the line is drawn there. I'd like to end the podcast with, if you could just tell everybody out there, where do they find you? Where do they get in touch with you on Twitter, on Instagram, or whatever social media platform you have?
You can find my Instagram is mo_diop, mo_. My last name is D as in David. IOP as in Paul.
Okay. Well, if you're trying to reach him and you can't get in touch with him through social media, you can always reach out to Student Spotlight or to Sports as a Job. We'll get you in touch with him if you are looking for him to work at your agency firm or if you're looking to give him the opportunity. So again, Mo, we really appreciate you coming on to really helping us build this platform and to really showcase the many students and interns out there that have the potential to be the future leaders of the sports industry.
Oh, yes. It was an honor, man. Throughout my journey, a lot of people have helped me out. So I'm always looking forward to giving back and just, you know, like I said, protect and serve. I always want to inspire the next individual and serve others as well as I can.